Welcome to Everybody Wants Something, a Degrassi podcast where two black millennials recap every episode of Degrassi from junior high to next class. Because why not? I'm your host, Sanique.
And I'm your other host, Lauren. Let's jump in.
We're back.
We're back, everyone. Back at it.
We are back at it for another episode of Everybody Wants Something. I could not remember the name of the podcast just now.
That happens to me a lot. Kind of an embarrassing amount. Yeah. But, you know, it's fine.
You should definitely know by now.
It's hard. It's hard, having so many things going on for us that, like, we're just like, oh, what's the name of our podcast?
I just have so many projects.
Yeah.
Up the pipeline.
Exactly.
You know the pipeline? Have you heard of it? It's where all the projects come from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We got shit working up the pipeline, down the pipeline, through it.
Up and down, all over, actually.
I mean,
it's kind of crazy.
I mean, hello. It's
some would say there's several pipelines, actually.
Some might say that we're building so many pipelines that, like, there's some protests going on because we are definitely getting into some indigenous people's land.
Yeah, our pipelines are just so vast. Like, we're kind of problematic.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of, I actually was watching RuPaul's Drag Race last night.
Oh, dear.
You know, RuPaul loves to frack, so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have you seen something that's brought me joy recently? Have you seen the meme? I guess someone was making bootleg like RuPaul like ornaments.
Oh no!
And they're like really ugly, but like several of the cast, like former contestants, have been like buying them to her chagrin because she's like, these are knockoffs, and like Trixie Mattel was like, I bought 10.
Be like, this is my merch, okay? So I don't know what you were making fun of.
Yeah, I've been having a shit couple of days, so that's brought me a lot of joy. It's just seeing the RuPaul knockoff holiday ornaments.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, I mean Christmas ornaments. Why did I say holiday? I'm not a part of the war on Christmas, okay?
The Christ in Christmas, Sanique, okay?
We used to have one of those magnets on our fridge in my house.
I mean,
you know, the reason for the season. I'm like, okay.
That was something. I mean, none of us will ever forget when people were like trying to boycott Starbucks because they took away the words or something, and they just had the color.
Honestly, it didn't look much different. I also don't go to Starbucks often, so it still looked like a holiday cup. It was like red. I think there were snowflakes on it.
Yeah.
So it still was very like wintry and like, ooh, it's the holidays. But people were like, I don't even know what they took off. Maybe like there was a ho 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 or something for like Santa, and they just
removed all the non-religious parts of Christmas.
Right. Like, so like the Christians were pissed that they took the Santa out of Christmas. Keep the Santa in Christmas. I'm like, okay.
Oh, dear.
Sure. Yeah. I love them.
Love.
I don't love them, but those right wing people are funny this time of year.
Is someone that, even while in it, and when I was in the Upside Down, I was very much observing the crazies that are within Christianity, being like, I feel like you're going too hard, and I don't have the energy for that, but it's interesting to observe.
Yeah, it is very funny to observe. How are you doing, Lauren?
I am doing okay. My kids at school are complete assholes this week. And I also I'm on my period, so I feel like my emotions, I don't know, I feel like I never really had strong emotions in my period, but then I'm like, when you start looking at it, you're like, oh, I guess I do. Some things are exacerbated a little bit during this time of the month. So this week is just kind of like going by, but it's Wednesday night, my time. So there's only two more days of work, and then it's the weekend, you know? So it's fine. It's fine.
You'll make it. Mm-hmm. Are you doing anything? I know sometimes you do like Friendsgiving stuff with like your fellow Americans.
Oh, yeah. Thanksgiving like is coming. Yeah, next week. Yeah, I consistently forget all the holidays. Yes, so this year I'm going. It's been hard to find like a good Thanksgiving dinner because a lot of times you can get like a, you can buy like a plate or like a dinner, like a kind of ticketed type seat. You know, kind of like how fancy people do for fundraisers. They buy by the plate or they buy by the table.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, but it's for Thanksgiving dinner, so it's kind of depressing. But it's really hard to find like the food that you want to eat on Thanksgiving at these events, because it's always like,
yeah,
I mean, no one wants, I mean, I'm speaking for myself, no one really wants to go to like a gourmet Thanksgiving like set menu, like a deconstructed like green bean casserole. Like, no. I want the standard like condensed soup, like butter heavy, all of the artificial ingredients that I know and remember. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to find that here, but
yeah, Thanksgiving should, I feel like a Thanksgiving meal, just because, I mean, it's always feel like home. It should never, I wouldn't want like an elevated Thanksgiving meal. No, I want like it to be like, I want my plate to be like kind of sloppy. So it's got too much stuff on it.
Yeah.
The food's touching. I like that.
Yeah. And like, I'm only going to eat this once a year. So like, I want to know what I'm going to eat. Like, I'm anticipating this meal once a year, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, but this year I bought a ticket to a dinner, and it is cooked by a Black American woman from Washington, yes, D.C., soul food, oh, yes, style plate with greens, yes, and macaroni and cheese, which is, like, I've never been able to find in China at a Thanksgiving dinner, yeah, so that alone, I'm like a proper, okay,
baked bubbly, mm-hmm, macaroni and cheese.
I want a crispy corner.
Oh, of course, never the middle. The middle is weak sauce. It's for the kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've like high expectations. Me and my friend were like, oh, we hear like this one place is like hosting, because a bunch of places will host the Thanksgiving dinner, and so we're like, oh, this place is good. They always have cool like cooking events or kind of like food events and things. And we're like, oh, this looks good. And then we found out who was cooking, and we're like, all right, bet, we can trust.
Word.
We can trust. And it's like, she like also does like catering on the side, so like it's not like her first gig or anything. And she's from Washington, D.C., a D.C. native. So
love it.
I'm expecting maybe a splash of Mambo sauce. I don't know.
Girl, where are you going with the Mambo sauce? What, on the turkey?
I will let you know, but I will be floored if that happens. But I'm so very happy excited for you,
because I know you've talked about it before. It's just the difficulty of finding, like, I mean, obviously you're in China, it's a little bit, mm-hmm, harder to find, you know, the foods that we grew up. So I'm happy that you're getting to have a Thanksgiving that's just like,
yeah,
it's probably gonna be really good.
I was comparing it to someone the other day. I was like, having holidays here in China, like, it's cool because like you can kind of like, it's different because you're away from your family, but like also it's like you're around your friends, so like it's kind of like a Friendsgiving, but like as when you don't have the option to eat with your family that like you can trust their cooking, it's very hard to find. Yeah. It's like it's constantly being like underwhelmed by like people's like, you have to like, you're like, I remember this year I was like, I think I'm just gonna cook because I know I can make, yeah, it well, but mm-hmm, I was happy to hear that like there's a set menu that I know will be good, and at least those are the things I like eating on Thanksgiving, so things are good.
That's amazing. I love that for you.
But how you doing, Sonic? I see you got your curls out and popping.
I do. I took my braids out. I've been wearing braids nonstop for like months, and I was like, I probably should just let my hair breathe a little bit. I'm not in the highest of spirits. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, I've got a lot going on, but I am going home this weekend. We're driving. I don't know why. Well, I know why we're driving, but we're driving to Maryland, which is going to be quite the trip. Hendrix is coming with us.
Oh yeah. Have you ever driven to Maryland from Chicago?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
A few times, actually. But, like, yeah, we're driving. So we're gonna have a little road trip, and Hendrix is coming with us, which he's not gonna like because he doesn't like long drives. Mm-hmm. He wants the car to just never stop. When it stops, like at the toll, like he freaks, like he hates when it stops. Like he just wants to keep going. So the poor thing,
he wants to be on a train.
Yeah, he's just constantly moving. But when we get, I think when we get to my family's house, he'll be very happy. That's the house he lived in.
Yeah.
I think he might be like, oh my God, this is my house, and be very happy to be there.
Yeah.
So I'm happy for him, and I'm going to be home for like a week or so through the holiday. Thanksgiving isn't my favorite holiday. I like Thanksgiving food, mm-hmm. but like, I don't like Thanksgiving that much. I think I just... It's just hard. It's always like just, it's overcomplicated. And then, I don't know. I feel like I always have really bad luck around Thanksgiving. Like bad things always seem to happen around Thanksgiving for me. So I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah. I also had a Thanksgiving Grinch.
I kind of am that. Like I'm just like, oh, Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I'm just, this is, I think I'm definitely entering into the season of the worst homesickness, because when you're removed, when the holiday is still there, and then you're in a country that also doesn't celebrate the same way, I'm like, this entire season is basically like everyone in the country that I'm in, like knowing about the holidays, but like they're, it's like, I'm trying to think of like something to compare it to, of like that they're like happy, you know, Merry Christmas, and I'm like, you don't even fucking get it. Just like super,
no,
you don't even know, like don't we have those words in your mouth, you don't even understand it, like it's just,
I mean, do people in, I mean, there are Christians in China,
yeah, but I mean just like culturally it's not like the whole,
you mean like the not the, like, let's take the Christ out of Christmas, but just like the season is just very,
I think I didn't realize how much of like, especially in like most in like Christian countries, that like the entire like winter season and the whole like feeling and culture around that time is just like so like nostalgic. And so when that culture is just absent, and then it's just like kind of Christmas, but not really, like for like, we were talking about like, my coworker was like, oh, you know, like my Chinese coworker, we decorate the English office for Christmas. And he was like, oh, you know, we have to get some Christmas decorations. And they also keep Christmas decorations up all year round. They like, don't take them down. And then like fun way, in a way of like, it's like, oh, this Santa Claus is faded from 3 years ago. Like, it's really sad. And so my coworker, who is American, he was like, oh yeah, we were talking about like, should we get a real Christmas tree or a fake Christmas tree? I was like, I don't even think you can get a real Christmas tree here. And then my coworker was like, oh no, we did last time. I was like, oh my gosh, really? Did it smell good? He's like, no, it didn't smell like anything. And I was like, how depressing is that? You like buy a real Christmas tree, it doesn't even smell like a Christmas tree.
Oh, I've never had a real one.
Oh, they smell so good.
Yeah, I don't know that. Yeah, I think my mom said that one year we had one, I was really little, and we got pine needles everywhere, and she's like, I'm never doing this shit again.
So yeah,
one time she did, it's like, I'm not doing this is too hard, I should vacuum every day. She's like, no, yeah, should be fake forever.
Yeah. So but otherwise it's like, you know, it's just, I mean, everyone has the holiday blues, it's just a little bit elevated here.
It's very common. It's that, it's, yeah, definitely, it's a hard time for lots of people. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, take care of yourselves, folks. Right between now and pretty much into New Year, it can be really gloomy for lots of people. So
mm-hmm.
take care of yourselves, take care of each other.
Yes. And
I know it's like so dark so early. It's very dreary, but we got to get through it.
Exactly. Sanique literally has like the Northern Lights background in her Zoom black today. Black turtleneck. Yes. Yeah. So we're, you know, we're just sending out our positive maybe not be that positive, but our love and appreciation to you, listener. And we don't have any shout outs this week. We're going to kind of hold off and kind of, love bomb you next week with all the love and shout outs. So if you have yet to send us a DM or write us a review, go ahead and do that this week so you can hear from us next week.
Yep. Do it. So shall we jump into the episode though?
Oh, speaking of love bombs.
I know. God.
We'll be right back after a quick break.
So we're just doing a singlet. We're doing a singlet this year, this day, today. What? Okay. episode 10 of season 3, Never Gonna Give You Up, air date November 19th, 2003. Oh my God. It's almost, it's the 17th. Okay. Wow. While Terry is, synopsis. While Terry is happy to have a new boyfriend in her life, Hazel and Paige become suspicious when she comes to school with cuts and bruises. I would say Hazel, not really, yeah. Paige
was oblivious.
Was very excited for her anyway. Meanwhile, a rivalry develops between Spinner and JT after the latter continually hangs out with Paige.
Ooh. I mean, this is, I think when in my mind before we were starting this episode, I was like, oh, we're doing a single episode. It's like Rick's in it, but it's not that bad. And then I was like, it is that bad. It's terrible. It's so bad.
Horrific.
It's so terrifying and horrific. We'll definitely have to get a trigger warning, like, in the show notes as well. But for domestic...
abusive-ass incel.
Abusiveness. Oof. Ugh. So bad. But, you know, we gotta get through it, I guess, for... This is Degrassi fandom. Rick is here.
Rick is here, and he's unfortunately here to stay for a minute.
I know. Okay. So, in our cold open for this episode, we are in the gym and for Miss Kwan's drama class, because they're always rehearsing something, doing something in groups. She loves to take her class outside the classroom and really get out of their routine, you know?
Experiential learning.
Mm-hmm. And we see that Terry, Rick, and Margo are walking in, and Rick is kind of walking ahead of Terry, and he like bunches up this jacket and sets it on the ground for Terry to sit on, and Rick goes, "For milady," and I was like, oh God.
That's the first red flag that he keeps saying, milady. It's like this fucking cringe. You loser.
And I will have to get a screen grab in this week's Instagram post, but like Marco's face that he gave as he's like witnessing this all happen, just like read it. He read it all. He read the entire episode with his face.
He's like, ugh, the straights are not okay.
And he's like, oh, Rick, like Terry, you could do so much better, hun. Like, yikes.
I mean, Terry has never been treated, well, at least so far. She's never been treated so good in her life. So he's doing shit like this. She's like, oh my God. Like, which, I mean, is a kind thing to do. Like, oh, like sit on this. Cause like, you know, but also it's still kind of like, maybe I'm part of the problem. Cause then women will be like, chivalry's dead. But then men will do things like this. And I'm like, ew, you're weird. But it's like, ew, like, what are you doing? Like, I can sit. I can sit down. It's not that big of a deal. It doesn't feel much different than if he like had thrown his coat over a puddle. I'm like, I could just walk around the puddle, man. Right. Come on. Don't mess up that jacket.
I was thinking about this, and I was like, at first I was thinking of the, because this is kind of a classic trope in like teen movies of the kind of nerdy guy that's a true chivalrous guy and kind of like can win people over with like how nice he is.
Yeah.
But he's not Rick. Like, he turns out to be, like, an actual decent guy. But I was thinking of, like, the one guy from 10 Things I Hate About You. There's the best friend in A Cinderella Story, which I mentioned before, I recently watched. And it's just, those are, like, that trope is, like, it's, like, hey, like, I'm a nice guy. And, like, I'm just going to be who I am. And that's kind of my thing. But I think the thing with Rick that I was like, why is he like rubbing me the wrong way? Like, and it's that, that person we all knew in school that like didn't pick up on social cues and like, mm-hmm. like, there's a difference between like, oh, like, you know, don't force yourself to fit in, but also like, don't be that weird. Like, you
know? Like, I know what you mean. It's like you're, yeah, it's that kind of like, it's the level of, you know, like the uncanny valley.
No.
So like the uncanny valley is basically, it has more to do with like, the way things like look. So, but like, so as something, the proximity to like looking like a human, like it's like, okay, like you have like the least looking like a human thing. So like a teddy bear, right? Or like a plush toy. And then the far right is like an actual human, like a me. And as you go along, you have these things that like, okay. And it also like correlates like your level of comfort. So a teddy bear is like, oh, okay, cute teddy bear. We like a teddy bear. And then like maybe like, okay, maybe like a Barbie doll. But then there's this valley where you get to the things that look close enough to a human, but it's too close, but it's not quite close enough. It gets creepy. So like wax dolls, you know, or like,
okay.
or like a corpse, things like that, where it's like, it kind of looks like a person, but it's not quite there. There's something just slightly off about it, and it makes you uncomfortable. So that's, it's like Rick. The valley. So the discomfort dips, and Rick is Rick lives at the bottom.
He's literally the troll at the bottom of the valley under the bridge.
How uncanny is my valley? That's where he lives.
Oh my god!
And it's like, it's proximity. So like if like the far left is like, okay, kid who's just like. Like a spinner who's just a dick.
Right.
But it's like, okay, whatever. And then it's like on the far right is like a Marco of like, oh, we love you. Mm-hmm. He's at a place where he's like, he's approaching kind, but it's in that weirdness of like, I like it. It's an uncomfortable kindness that feels performative because there's a darkness inside of you, like a wax doll.
Yes, exactly. You got it right. It's like when I think of. You know, when people talk about like, oh, like they had an interaction with someone that turns out that they were like some like real creep, like a person that like they later found out was like turned out to be a murderer or whatever. And it's just like, I don't know, like just like it was very your human kind of instinct is kind of like this, something's off. I don't know what it is, but like this feels performative. Something's not genuine about it. Like why?
You can always tell in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
They have those, like, dead shark eyes.
Yes.
Like, there's nothing behind you. There's nothing behind those eyes.
Yes, very much so. And it's just, yeah, just something off, and it's not, which, I mean, props to the actor that played Rick for, you know, mm-hmm. playing that role and, you know, getting to that place. Yeah. You know.
I hope he's fine.
I hope he's doing okay. I mean, that would be interesting. I'm pretty sure there's an interview somewhere about, like, the backlash he received after playing the role of Rick.
Like, what's it like playing, like, a hated character? Like, not even, like, a love-to-hate, like a Cersei Lannister or something, but mm-hmm. it's, like, literally everyone hates you.
Well, I was watching, I think I was talking about how I had watched, like, rom-coms recently. And I had watched Made in Manhattan, and mm-hmm. the male lead, the romantic male lead, is the same actor that plays Voldemort.
I've never seen Made in Manhattan, but that's an interesting choice. Ralph Fiennes.
But I think he played that role prior to playing Voldemort. So,
oh, of course. But also, it's weird thinking of him as a romantic lead, because when I think of that guy, I think of him as playing like that Nazi guy in Schindler's List.
Yeah,
like he's just hardcore villain. Like he's just a villain. He's a villainous man.
Yeah,
and I'm sure he's nice. He's probably so nice, but like he just has the look of someone who does bad things.
Yeah. So you know, we're just hoping that for the actor that plays Rick, we're hoping for a Voldemort kind of, you know, you can get some big negative leads, but you get paid. So
I mean, that's true.
So in the gym, they're doing a kind of scene study project, and they're going to have rehearsals, and we learn that Marco wrote his own script because he's an artiste. And he's like, you know, I don't want to be a director. I wrote it. I don't want to deal with that. And so Jimmy's like, I'll be up for a director. Like, I'm good. Like, he's
I'm the tallest here. I'll be the director.
And Rick goes, well, you know, theater is in my blood.
I'm like, oh, God. Fucking punches, kid.
My mother walked the boards in Strathmore for years. And I'm like, how old are you? You sound like a 70-year-old man telling a story. Yeah, I walked
the boards in Strathmore. Like, what are you talking about? Where is that? Like, I know where that is, but like, what? No. Who cares? I'm 15. I don't care.
I know. And Jimmy's like, okay. He's like, so I'll be director.
I love what Jimmy catches. What's funny is actually everyone, all the guys catch on to Rick. Everyone else thinks it's cute. All the girls think it's cute until Hazel finds out. But all the guys, Spinner at one point is like, you're weird. Like, the guys, you know what? Let's hear it for the boys, because they're actually the ones who catch nothing wrong with Rick, because Marco catches it, Jimmy catches it, and Spinner catches it at one point. The girls are all swooning. Once you're like, this man's wild.
Yeah, because it's very much that kind of thing of, like, he's doing the performative, like, adult thing of, like, oh, like, giving you flowers that, like, is not cool to do when you're actually a teen. And the fact, and it's also weird that he's doing it while a teen, because it's like, this is, no, we don't do that.
Strange.
Yeah.
He's strange, yeah.
But Jimmy gives the lead to Terry, and, you know, kind of assigns parts and everything, and he gives Rick the stage manager role, because that's what nerds do. It's a teen show.
Jimmy's like, you wear glasses, you're stage manager.
Yeah. But
on this black t-shirt, you fucking...
You're on crew.
Your crew.
But Rick, you know, he's appearing to be supportive for Terry and kind of like, you know.
No, that reminds me, have you seen that episode of Pen 15 when they have play in season 2?
It's like, this is going to be Hell Week. Everything's fine till Hell Week. It's like, what the fuck?
The weird, like, tech kids.
I know. Rick. I know. Which is like... It's just funny how, like, these kind of, like, social dynamics are just, like, the same across the board, like...
They are, yeah.
Everywhere.
They were super intense stagehands kids who just took their job too seriously.
Exactly. So we get to rehearsal, and we're rehearsing this scene that's going to be rehearsed throughout the entire episode, and Marco's laying in bed, and he's, you know, calling out for, Mama, Mama. And
Mama, bring your pasta sauce.
Where's your pasta sauce?
Marinara sauce.
I forgot about the marinara. Oh, God. They should have put that into the script.
If I were a writer on Degrassi, I would find a way to get Marco to say marinara sauce.
Come on.
Every episode.
He's a star. He needs to shine.
Yeah.
And Terry comes in and she's reading the role very stiff and robotic, monotone. And, you know, Jimmy's like, hey, you know, like, Terry, how about, you know, try just relaxing a little bit? You know, I see, you know, kind of looking stiff. Like, let's just, you know, try to chill out, relax a little bit.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, oh, yeah, I'm so nervous. And here comes Rick, Mr. Theater. He's like, Tare, it's all about the breathing. And as if he's like coaching her through labor or something.
That's exactly what it sounded like. I'm like, I don't, like, yes, it's important to breathe. No matter what you do, it's important to breathe. But like, not like that. Like, not while you're talking. Like,
no. And Terry's like, she gives him like finger guns. She's like, cool, awesome, got it. She goes back. They run the scene again. Here comes Terry, huffing and puffing.
She just ran a mile. Like,
like, she's like, dear, I'm...
God bless Christina Schmidt. I was like, what is happening? I
know. She's like, oh, we're running the scene a couple of different ways. I'm going to give it.
Yeah, I'm going to try something different in the scene. Come on, give me a chance. Yeah. Let's run it again.
places. But Jimmy's had enough. He's like, all right, cool. We'll try again tomorrow. And Rick is like, Jimmy, don't worry. It's hard being a director for the first time. Kind of like, again, just giving off that, just not realizing that, like, Jimmy literally can't stand him, but, like, trying to be, like, obnoxious, but also trying to be friendly at the same time and be funny and sarcastic, but it's just, like, not reading well at all.
I mean, he's just, like, wildly condescending.
Yes, exactly.
And I'm like, Rick, you clearly have no friends. No. When have you directed a play? With whom?
Exactly. So we get to the hallway and Spinner and Craig are talking and they're observing JT and Paige kind of chit-chatting and laughing and giggling. And Spinner is, you know, kind of being jealous and kind of annoyed because he's just annoyed that JT is kind of there all the time now, hanging out with around Paige and stuff. And, you know, he walks up to Paige and, you know, asks JT to get lost. And this is when JT does the ultimate, I mean, this is the card you pull when you're trying to, like, really fuck someone up, is when you start mocking them.
But also, like, the most immature, like,
oh yeah,
why would you do this? It's funny because, I mean, JT's annoying, but also Spinner is being stupid. Because even when he's talking to Craig, Craig's like, I don't get it. Like, why does Paige want to hang out with JT? And Spinner alludes to the fact that, like, you know, JT helped Paige out, like, when after her rape. And, like, you know, he defended her. And it was a nice thing that he did for her. And obviously they kind of built a bond, which just, like, makes Spinner seem like a huge asshole. That's, like,
yeah,
like, why are you trying to remove this person from her life who was just, like, I don't know, quite kind to her, and she looks like she appreciated it and wants to be his friend.
Exactly.
I think Spinner deserves everything he gets in this episode.
Yeah, very much so. And Paige is like, you guys should just get along, like, get over it, babe, hun, honey bee.
She's like, you guys just a kiss.
Just kiss and make up already. So we get to the hallway and Terry and Rick are chatting, and Rick is interrogating Terry and asking her all these questions about, like, how long have you known Jimmy? You know, like, you know, do you like him? You know, it seems that he's very much trying to gauge, like, what Terry's feelings are towards Jimmy. Uh-huh. And if he's competition, I guess, in his mind or whatever.
Basically. And it's just, like, which is funny because as a viewer, it's like, dude, there's nothing, like, there's never been any allusion to the two of them.
Yeah. I mean,
but Rick also isn't a rational person. So,
yeah.
And he's a bit abuser. So he's looking for ways to control her, obviously, but it's just kind of, like, interesting seeing, like, what exactly does he think, what does he think is going on, like, what does he see that, like, you know, that clearly isn't there,
right? Exactly. Which is actually kind of cool, like, the way that they set that up with this storyline. They kind of, well, they, I mean, with whatever, I mean, this is, we didn't mention this yet, but this kind of storyline is a revamp of the Degrassi High episode with Kathleen and her abusive boyfriend.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And with that one as well, they kind of brought a side character that we haven't been introduced to yet, but is basically first introduced as, like, a somewhat romantic or potential romantic interest for this character that is later abused by this person. And yeah, it's kind of interesting how they do that. It's in the sense of, like, we knew Kathleen and we know Terry to some extent, and, like, how her dynamic is with her friends. And so we, as the audience, are kind of observing Rick, like, being ridiculous and, like, how, in his assumptions about things, and just, like, completely irrational about things, you know?
Right. Yeah. It definitely is. It deviates from Kathleen a lot. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that we get, this is a continuing story.
Yes.
If you're exactly. not, I mean, I'm assuming that if you listen to our podcast, you've watched Degrassi, you've probably watched mm-hmm. a lot of it. I doubt you're really, you're probably doing a rewatch along with us. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I appreciate that it like is a storyline as opposed to just like
a special episode.
Oh, Kathleen gets hit by her boyfriend a few times and then like we never hear about him again.
Mm-hmm.
But he like he's still a background character. He like shows yeah. up in scenes, so we just have to pretend like he's just a guy.
Exactly. But you know, Jimmy is kind of observing through the window Terry and Rick, and he is just like clearly nauseated and so annoyed. And you know, he just like kind of like makes like a gagging face and kind of turns to Hazel and being like, doesn't Rick creep you out? Like, isn't there just something weird about him? And Hazel's like, no, they're in love.
They're in love. They're so yeah. cute. Which, I mean, I get it. I think it's like, especially for Terry, who, I mean, as we know, Terry has like self-esteem issues mm-hmm. we've seen, and she's never had a boyfriend, as Ashley likes to remind her
all the time,
that she's the least desirable of the friends. So I kind of get from Hazel's point of view this like desire to like protect her mm-hmm. and like, and there, you know, she might also think he's kind of weird actually, but she's like, well, she seems happy, so I'm just gonna be yeah. supportive because I'm happy for her, you know.
Hazel's like, listen, Terry comes in here with these weak ass cornrows. She's really into the Oracle. Terry's weird too. They probably go great together.
So they probably like they recharge crystals together. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly. This was like she found her match. It's fine.
There's someone for everyone.
Exactly. But we, you know, Hazel's like, you know, you're just being dramatic. Chill out. Like, they're in love. Just let Terry have this thing. And we pan over to Terry, who's doing the classic thing that I never actually saw anyone do in real life, but only in movies and TV, which is, you know, writing the person that you have a crush on inside a heart on your notebook.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever done that.
That's social suicide. You can't let people know, like, who you like.
Yeah, I feel like you're asking for someone to see that and then destroy yeah. your life.
But we get to the dot, and, you know, the group is together here. They're meeting up to kind of do some more planning and figure out what they're going to do for their scene. And we see that Rick is giving us some theater tips.
Okay.
From his theater days.
I don't know why this scene makes me laugh so hard. I think it's because the way he, like... So he teaches them the three-quarter rule, which is uh-huh. a thing in yeah. theater. Like, yeah, like you cheat out. I've heard it yeah. more be like, oh, cheat out to the audience a little bit just so they can hear you
yes.
and whatever. But then the way he exits the scene or the frame, it's like he just like slinks out like backwards. Okay, oh, listener, this is like a very – you know something about me when I watch television stuff? The thing that I laugh at the most are just, like, really weird specific things that I just find, like, odd. And they're never funny to anybody else because they're just not really – they're not things that are important. But for some reason, for me, I think it's funny. Watch the scene again. So he explains, like, three-quarter rule, right? And Jimmy's like, okay, cool, thank you. And he kind of smirks and he just, like, slinks out backwards.
Oh, Rick. Rick.
It just adds to the weirdest. I don't know if that was the actor's choice to be like, I'm just going to be fucking weird and like leave the scene in a weird way. Or if it just was like, they just cut the scene yeah. in a strange way. Watch it again. He just kind of like, he's kind of almost like tips his fedora and then like,
oh no.
Backwards.
Tap like, dances out. M'lady.
It's like, ladies. Three-quarter rule. M'lady.
Oh god, but everyone's just like, okay, thanks for that one. And Spinner comes over to take their order and Terry's like, well, how about a hamburger? And Rick over here keeping people from their food, the mm-hmm. number one cardinal rule.
I would try
to restrict someone's food out here. Gosh, red flag number 15 for Rick.
Yes.
And he's like, you know, Ter, you know, how about a salad?
He's like, oh, you said you were craving a salad. And Marco's like, who craves a salad? I'm like, exactly, who does that? Who's like, oh, man, you know what I really, really have a hankering for? Like a really good, like, you know, spring
garden cream. Salad.
I can't even name a salad. That's how much I don't crave them.
Yeah. Unless it's like potato a salad, salad. I crave
that.
That like has like a billion things on it and it's barely a salad, you know?
Yeah, I had a salad once that was it had fried chicken in it and yeah. biscuits.
That's how I want my salad.
Instead of croutons, it had little buttery biscuits. That was a salad. I'm like, this is delicious.
That's how I like it. Mm-hmm. That's how my kind I of like salad. It. And you know, Rick is like, you know, how about a light dressing, healthiest thing on the menu? And everyone's just kind of like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's just like slow blink, like
yeah. And Jimmy most definitely is like the most creeped out of all of them. And you know,
he's like, Terry hates salads
because she's human. That's why.
He's like, I know my girl. She would never want a salad. No. This guy's no good.
And she's like, you're so great. You always look out for me. And they do that like little like arm tickle because they're like so they're sitting too close to each other at a group setting.
I hate couples that act like that.
You know that they're same set of table couple.
Oh yes. Oh my god.
Mostly because Rick wouldn't let her sit on the other side, even if she wanted to.
That happened to us recently. Went to a restaurant and like they sat us at like a really big table that would sit like five people.
Right.
So then like they sat us next to each other, but like we couldn't not sit next to each other because then we'd be too far because the table was so wide. So we just like sat. It's just weird. We're just sitting next to each other.
This is too intimate. Like why are we sitting so close to each other?
Yeah, and we're all the table was also like the middle of the restaurant, so we just were like. The weirdest position. Food was good though.
That's good. That's what matters.
Yeah, that's what matters.
We get to the next day at school, and JT is approached by Radich at his locker, and Radich has received a love letter or love note, supposedly by JT, and JT's kind of like, "What the fuck?" But we see that Spinner comes up behind him as JT opens his locker and there's pictures and kind of like, you know, loving messages all to Mr. Radich all over his locker. And Spinner comes up behind him. And that's when JT realizes that Spinner was the one that did this prank and did this to him in his locker. Mm-hmm. And prank war begins between the two of them for the rest of the episode.
It's also like a really weird prank.
Very weird.
Is the prank so? Is the joke that Mr. Radich thinks that JT wants to fuck him? Like, is that the joke? That's like really upsetting. And I think like that would be something that they would call the like you would get called in.
Oh yeah,
it's like this is inappropriate. You can't be doing this to your principal.
No,
it's not funny.
It's sexual harassment.
It's sexual harassment. Yeah,
exactly.
So it's interesting that that was the choice. Maybe, you know, the writers are all adults. They're old as fuck. So maybe back in the day, that was like a fun prank. I feel like today that'd be like a, you're trying to get people arrested. That's not funny.
It's not funny.
Not just JT, but also like Mr. Radich has love notes from his students. It's like, this is not good for him. Yeah. This does not bode well for him. Like, don't be playing around like that. Mm-mm.
We get to the rehearsal and we're running the scene again with Mama, Mama, and Terry is choosing to face the full frontal, not even like three quarters. She's going full on.
She is delivering a monologue, a soliloquy actually.
Yes, a soliloquy. Yep. And, you know, Jimmy's kind of like being like, oh shit, like things are going too far. Rick has fully infiltrated her brain. So he pulls him aside and like, hey, like, you know,
Rick is like painting a whole set. I'm like, aren't you guys just doing are you guys like a full production? Like he's like painting. I'm like, what is this for, something else, or is this for the project? This is like this is a very involved.
They are rehearsing on a stage. They got cues. They have a crew.
They have a whole hospital set.
Like, what? We got questions.
Yeah.
And Jimmy's trying to, like, be polite to some extent. Like, he's not really being an asshole, but he's basically just like, hey, you know, I think your tips with Terry are kind of like, you know, throwing her off. Like, can you lay off a bit? And and then Rick kind of is like, oh, I'll talk to her. He's kind of moving towards talking to her. And then Jimmy sidesteps and gets in his way. He's like, I'm going to talk to her because I'm the director. And in my mind, he's like pointing his finger like and like tapping his chest while he's doing it.
He should have.
Should have. But this, you know, really pisses off Rick. Because it's Rick and he has anger issues.
He has serious anger issues. He's just been challenged. I think that Jimmy's black.
That took the words out of my mouth.
I feel like that has something to do with the dude, because Jimmy's just like,
yeah, because a guy like Rick is most definitely on the side of white supremacy. Like,
oh yeah, he's no doubt. Like, where was Rick on January 6th? Well, we know he wasn't there, because. But still, well, the elephant in the room. But like, yeah. If he were real and that didn't happen, he would absolutely have been at the insurrection. He would have left. He would have come from Canada. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing here? It's not your war. Go back to your country. Mm-hmm. This one time saying go back to your country is appropriate. Like, go back to your country, though. Like, what are you, why are you here?
man. We get to the hallway and Spinner gets pantsed by JT in the hallway. And everyone's
laughing.
Isn't
JT lucky that Spinner was wearing breakaway pants? Did you hear me?
You cut out for a second. I heard, isn't JT lucky?
I said, isn't JT lucky that Spinner wore breakaway pants? That could be fully ripped.
It's
not even a pantsing. He literally just stripped him naked.
Yeah, it was very weird. I'm like, this scene was weird because it was like too planted. Like, he had the ripaway pants and then he had the classic like cartoon like heart boxers that only people wear in cartoons when they want to be showing wearing underwear. It was very
weird. Also, on top of that, it was like shot slow motion, which we never, like, that's never a shot. They never use slow motion in the show. So all of a sudden there's like a slow motion tear away from the pants. And there's, like, fun drums, like, doop, 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 like, oh, something wacky's happening. And it's like, what is happening? Why is this happening in the same episode that Terry's getting beaten up?
I know. Like, this is... What? I remember thinking, I was like, damn, Degrassi, you did it again. Where they're trying to, like, here's a tough episode, but here's some hijinks, too. It's like, no, I thought we were past this.
That's exactly it, hijinks. Like, why is the episode where Terry's getting, like, abused with hijinks? Like, no. Cut it out,
please. Rick and Terry are outside walking and they're chatting, and Rick is really upset about Jimmy, and I think they're by the locker, and you know, Terry's just trying to, like, you know, pacify him and kind of like calm him down a little bit to like make him not look so stressed. And you know, she kind of suggests, like, you know, ignoring Jimmy's advice and just, like, you know, doing her own thing or whatever. And this is when Rick is like, well, no, don't do that, because I just don't, you know, I'm just worried. I don't want you to embarrass yourself in front of all those people. And it was it comes across as a very manipulative kind of scene or like situation. And like, and we obviously see, like, you know, Terry makes a choice later that obviously she's trying to, you know, please her boyfriend, Rick. And it's very much like, you know, Rick, it's almost like he wants her to embarrass herself so that she only has him.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what he's doing.
Damn.
Yeah, he absolutely, I think that's, you hit the nail on the head. It's like he's absolutely trying to alienate her. So if he can basically, like, so it's almost like it's and shows you like how fucked up he is, because it's like it's multi-layered.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I think he genuinely thinks he's giving good advice to her because he's stupid. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then like, so he gives the advice that opposes Jimmy so that way she can listen to him and not Jimmy, right? So he can control the situation, right? Even though the advice he gives is not, the advice isn't bad advice, but the way he's teaching it to her is not correct. And that's why she, it's bad, right? You're telling her to breathe, which is good, mm-hmm. but you're not telling her to breathe the right way. You're also telling her to cheat out, but you're also not telling her the right way to do it, right?
Exactly.
But he just, it's, at the end of the day, it's just about, he's trying to control the situation. But then because she's like, okay, I want to do what Jimmy tells me, in order to create an additional divide, it's like, well, okay, well, I just don't want you to embarrass yourself. Hint, hint. What Jimmy's telling you is going to embarrass yourself. Do what I say. Mm-hmm. But then, in effect, it ends up being her embarrassing herself because she listened to him. Because, you know.
Yeah. You're very right. Like, it's very much multi-layered and, like, very...
Fuck that. Like, it's sick. It's something that only someone who is in the mindset of like, I'm a manipulator would even think of, because it's like, why would you even do that?
It's like a true master plan that's like, really, who thinks of that, you know?
Yeah. An abuser.
Exactly. So we get to the performance, and Terry's actually doing really great in the scene setup, and she's, you know, she's killing it. And then she looks out into the audience and she sees that Rick is like disappointed and kind of like shaking his head, being like,
because at the end of the day, what matters to Rick isn't, also on top of it, it doesn't matter to Rick that Terry does well. It what matters is that she does it the way he wants. So even though she's doing it well, he's harping on the fact that she's not doing what he told her to do, though.
Exactly.
Even if it's like to her detriment. He sucks.
Which is so bad. Mm-hmm. And this obviously really affects Terry, and so she decides that she's gonna flip and she's gonna start doing and following Rick's advice, the breathing and the three-quarter rule, and everyone in the audience is like out loud laughing at her and like snickering. Jimmy has his head down, kind of embarrassed, and Terry's like, and what's interesting about, I think, about the about her lines that she was doing, because we hadn't heard them yet up until this performance. So she's kind of talking about like, I'll be your rock. I'll be there for you. Like, I'll be this person in your life when no one else is there. The kind of lines of the scene as well were kind of telling to kind of like what this, like, I think in some sense, like, Terry, what she wants to prove to Rick that she is like there for him, even though she's already doing enough to prove that, but he's psychotic. But then it's also kind of telling us like, well, Rick wants the exact same thing from her, but in a very dark way, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oof. You're absolutely right.
But she, you know, she runs out and she's kind of like really upset and crying and embarrassed, and she can runs out into the hallway. And, you know, just really upset. She's obviously very affected. We cut to the next scene, and Rick and Terry are walking outside in this alleyway. I feel like this is the alleyway where everything happens. I feel like this is where Marco came out. Yeah. Like, the shit goes down in the alleyway here in Degrassi. There's the ravine in the alleyway, you know?
Yeah, it's where all, like, all the real shit happens.
The alleyway. It goes there. I feel like that's
where it goes to Degrassi Street.
Yes. And, you know, Terry's like, you know, talking with Rick. Like, she's like obviously feeling all these things. She's like, I look like an idiot because of you. Everyone is laughing at me. I should have just listened to Jimmy. And this is not what Rick, I mean, he would have not done well with anything she said, honestly, but this is like, she was kicking all the buttons in his mind, like, tick, 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 they're about to take off, you know?
Yeah.
And Rick grabs her arm very forcefully and aggressively and says to her straight-faced, wide-eyed, shark eyes, and the pupils are out.
Yeah, like he's like, it's fully black. He's mm-hmm. no whites anymore.
Yeah. And he says, I don't like that tone of voice. It makes me feel stupid. And it's like, because you are, but that's...
Motherfucker, you are. You stupid as hell.
Like, Jesus. And, yeah,
it's terrifying. You know, Is that when he pushes her? He, like, throws her up against the...
No, that happens later.
Oh, that's later. Okay. So he just grabs her hand. Okay.
But, you know, he grabs her hand and, like, very forcefully and won't let go. And Terry's basically, like, you know, kind of just apologizing and trying to get out of it just so that he'll let her go. But she's very, like, you know, surprised and kind of, like, shocked by it all. And, not doing well.
No.
So we get to the next day and Terry is getting off the bus and she sees Rick at the entrance of the bus, and he's got this bouquet of flowers behind him, and I'm like,
of course.
And you know, he's like, I'm so sorry. I blew off the handle, and you know, he's making all these excuses for why, you know, he reacted the way he did. And it was nothing that he did. It was because of everyone else that he reacted that way.
Oh, of course. It's nothing's ever his fault. It's because of what she said. And it's because of Jimmy. And it's because, I don't know.
I mean, the way he turned this around and, like, fucking manipulate, he's like, well, it's just because, you know, Jimmy likes you so much. Like, he obviously likes you, and that's why it wasn't because of your acting that you got the lead. It's because that he likes you, and that's why you got the lead. And, you know, I just love you so much, and, you know, you're so beautiful and so smart, and, like, why would I, like, what do you expect me to do? Like, of course everyone likes you, and that's why I'm jealous. Because you're great.
He's like, yeah, he's like, any guy would be worried about you, because, like, you're so hot.
It's like, how?
Like, what the fuck?
I mean, the
he Jedi mind tricked that.
Exactly. And I was like, holy shit. But I mean, like, that's, what are they? I mean, there's the different state. I mean, it's like the love bombing, right? And it's like the different stages that are like the kind of red flags of a kind of abusive, in the beginning stages of an abusive relationship, especially with the kind of like hyping someone's, like, either, I mean, abusers seek out certain people. I mean, any type of person, but especially like abusers that are wanting to manipulate a person will find someone and kind of like harp on certain aspects that they know they can, you know,
they could groom and manipulate.
Exactly.
So like, exactly. He knows that Terry is, you know, Terry does have self-esteem issues. So he makes it be about the fact that, like, oh my god, you're so, and she is beautiful and she's smart and she has right. those qualities, but like he knows what he's doing. At the end of the day, it's still just, it's a manipulation tactic, whether yes. or not he actually believes those things about her. He's only saying it in that moment to further manipulate her and to justify why he does what he does.
And it's, I mean, and like, in anyone at any age, like this works, right? That's like, these things work on people and at any moment, and especially a teenage girl. Like,
yeah, of course.
Especially a teenage girl.
Especially an inexperienced one, too.
Yes. That feels forgotten, that is constantly reminded that, like, she's not the likable one of the friend group, and, you know, she doesn't have a boyfriend.
Yeah, I blame Ashley for all
of this, actually. Uh-huh. Where's Ashley in this episode? Where's her apology? Okay.
I know.
So, but she takes the flowers and we kind of see that she, you know, she's, you know, contemplating kind of like, kind of the manipulation is working on Terry. And we get to the bathroom, Paige's home office.
Of course.
And, you know, the girls' room, Paige and Hazel are kind of gushing over Terry's flowers and very much like impressed and like just like, they're very much like, oh my gosh, like, you have the dream. You have the dream. You've got the boy that, like, buys you flowers, does all the things we see in movies. Like, it must be great, you know? On the surface level, everything's, like, perfect and movie perfect, you know?
Yeah, of course.
And Paige is like, hun, we gotta get all the details. So we're having a girls' night at my house after school. Because you gotta give us all the dirty details.
Of you course. And Paige Rick. Is like, Paige is such that friend, though. She's like, okay, uh-huh. Really, I gotta hear everything.
Exactly.
Girls' night, my house. I also love that. Like, that's like it's also another funny thing I find with TV, and it's not an important detail, but like lines like that are always like delivered like that. Like, girls' night, you, me, popcorn. Like, what? Why are you listing a roll stuff?
Of cookie dough. It's like, oh, gosh, right. I would like a full meal. That would be nice. Like,
me, you, bottle of wine, Netflix, telephone, genocide, fun times. Like, what are you talking about? Bitch, what are we doing? Me, so you, weird. Dynamite, a goat covered in chocolate, wine. Gonna be great girls' night.
Oh, God.
Like, what are these things?
Paige is literally just the Stefan of, like, girls' night sleepovers. It's got girls everything. Night
has everything.
I'm just trying to go hang out with girls, Paige.
But I would also be like, yeah, girl, let's do it. Girls' night at yours.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But, you know, Paige kind of, she walks out. She's like, I got things to do. We got people to see. But Hazel and Terry are hanging back. And Terry's kind of like, oh, you know, like, I need to make sure that, you know, I'll have to ask Rick ahead of time, you know. And they're like, ask Rick. Girl, don't you have him wrapped around your finger? And it's like, no, like, girl, not really.
It's girl's night. You don't have to ask him. It's us.
Yeah. But that we're kind of seeing, you know, with these little kind of moments that the dynamic between Terry and Rick is definitely askew. It's not good. It's not healthy. So yeah.
Isn't it also the same scene when Hazel notices?
Yes.
Like his keys. What is clearly someone's like fingers. Like, yeah. Someone like grabbed her. Yeah. Handprint. Yeah. Yeah.
And Hazel asks about it, and Terry's like, oh, you know, just a volleyball serve, you know, ha ha ha. And Terry, or Hazel's kind of like, okay. But, you know, Hazel's the, she's the observer. She's the one that clocks people and sees what's going on.
Oh, yes.
So she tucks it away in her mind for later.
Yeah.
So we get to the hallway. Spinner apologizes to JT. Wait, what? Oh, Spinner's like trying to make an apology to JT because he got pants. So he's like, all right, let's make a truce. Let's, you know, end this thing. But while he's doing that, Craig is sneaking something into JT's locker while he's not looking. And, you know, they make this quote-unquote truce, and then Spinner leaves. And then Manny comes up, and Manny serving another look at this episode, even if it's just for one scene. She has got a classic polyester early 2000s long sleeve, one shoulder, a bare arm, and a full sleeve tarp on the other side.
Yes. Because, like, what weather do you wear that in? Like, what season can you wear that?
And it's like a full-on, like, tropical beach scene. Just like, uh-huh. Like, on, like, you're wearing a piece of art. Like, you're wearing a screensaver, you know?
Yeah. It's my background right now, but in a shirt.
Very much so. And she's like, hey, JT. And, you know, JT and Manny are kind of have, like, you know, flirting vibes. They, you know, saying hello to each other. But then Manny hears the fart coming from JT's locker, and the farting continues because it's the machine that Craig put in there, and Manny is disgusted, as I probably would be too if someone was just farting that loudly in front of me. I repeatedly. Would,
it's funny because I think I just would laugh and run and like walk away laughing, but she's just like, JT. Like, she's going to vomit. I'm like, girl.
I know.
Farts are funny. I'm sorry. I think farts are hilarious.
Yeah. It's, I mean.
I would laugh. I'm like, ew, boy. And, like, go right away.
JT, like, Mr. Comedian, you should have just ran with it. You should have just, you know, let the improv come out of you. Come on.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
But yeah, like, Manny's, like, gonna leave to, like, throw up in the bathroom.
Exactly. She's a different girl. She's a different gal.
She's like, I'm hot now. You can be farty. Yeah,
she's sexy. Farts are not sexy.
Yeah, she's like, I don't fart.
She's very much like, oh, I don't. Nope, nothing. Nothing comes out of me that smells.
I'm like, oh, trust me, everyone farts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even Beyonce. I bet you, like, Beyonce rips like loud fart. Like, she rips like the loudest, stinkiest farts.
Can you imagine just like the normal things that she does that just like are wiped from the internet?
She's probably so gross. What if like Beyonce's like just disgusting, actually? Like, she's like really gross. What if Beyonce's like a nose picker?
Oh my god, you know she is. She like wipes her boogers like on stuff.
Yeah, because she's so rich. She doesn't care. She wipes her boogers on a Basquiat. She doesn't care.
Exactly. Someone else is going to clean it. Wow.
Someone will clean it. I'll just get another Basquiat. I'm rich. Exactly. I'm going to wipe this booger on this Tiffany's diamond, this yellow diamond. I don't care. Exactly. It blends right in.
I'm going to throw it out anyway.
Yeah.
Ugh, Beyonce. So we get to the gym and Rick is breaking down this full set that he built for the one scene.
I hope they got an A for that shit. That'd be so bad.
I know. And he's breaking down the set, doing all this stuff, complaining about how hard crew is. And Terry comes up. She's asking about if they had any plans that night. The way that she's approaching it, she's definitely kind of like being hesitant because she knows how he's going to be, mm-hmm. you know? And, you know, she's asking about plans and he is like, she tells him that, it's, you know, Paige is going to have a girls' night and, you know, I was going to go hang out with my friends.
He's like, and, they can't come.
Oh. He's like, very, he's like, what? So, I mean, that means I can't come? It's like, bruh, no. And you know what I wrote down?
No, what?
This is the Alex and Simon McCord of Degrassi. Do you remember from Real Housewives in New York?
I have to admit, I'm not a big Roni girl. So I don't know.
This is early Real Housewives of New York. Alex they were like the really weird couple that always did everything together. And Simon was a guy that wore Speedos and like would join on the girls' trips. And they'd be like, why is he joining?
Oh my god, was he an abuser?
No, I'm sorry, weird. I want to say that they were actually just like a really obnoxious like couple that like enjoyed spending time with each other, and like that they were just like very weird,
yeah,
and like very listener, if you understand the reference, you will know like that, because there's a famous like kind of moment early on in Real Housewives in New York where I think Ramona was inviting everyone for like a girls trip, and Alex like brought Simon like to like a dinner, and it was only a girls dinner, and they're like, why is Simon here?
That's so weird. She's
like, oh, I, you know, he just, you know, he likes doing things with me, like, you know, like we like doing things together, which was a very in Alex's mind, like their dynamic, it was a very normal dynamic, but for like the rest of the wives, they're like, your husband.
For the rest of the world, that's a weird thing. Like, you don't do anything without your husband. That's weird.
Yeah. It was so funny, but I was just like, ugh, if only they could have just been like Alex and Simon and not like Terry and Rick, you know?
Yeah.
But Terry, rightfully so, says, Rick, you're being crazy. And this was not the word he likes hearing.
No, that part was.
I forgot this happened in this episode too.
Cause he like backhands her. Yeah. Right? Like backhands, hard.
hard
across the mouth. Face
on school property during school hours. Bold. Too bold.
Incredibly bold. And she gets, and, like, she gets hit in the mouth and she has a bloody, like, little lip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, don't ever call me that. And this got me thinking. I can't remember. Listen.
If you react to being called crazy by hitting someone, then it's like, so true?
So there's some truth to this statement? I don't know.
There's some truth to this statement, clearly.
Okay. I don't know if this is answered later on or not, but like, does Rick have some history of like being somewhere because of his behavioral issues?
It's not funny. The way I heard was, does Rick have history of being somewhere? I'm like, I mean, probably. Like,
he's sorry, I was trying to be like very, no, like,
was
like
he
being at a facility, he, like being counseled because of his?
I don't know. We don't get that.
Okay,
Rick just is trying a new to, kid I at the
remember,
school.
So
we, I don't think we do. I know at some point in the future, he leaves, and he comes back. After you know what, so he right. Yeah, so I don't think, as far as we know, no, could have though, maybe.
I'm like, I wonder if it's like one of those things where it's like, if they never said it, but it's kind of like maybe like assumed, because I know, like, even implied. Like his mom is kind of like always like his apologist and being like, you know, like he's been working so hard and being different, and it's like, is he? What happened before?
I don't know. I would say later. Because I know after the thing happens, he goes to a different school. It's never specified, but I almost want to say it probably could have been something like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but I don't know. I don't know where he came from. He just showed up one day and was leaving roses on someone's locker. Like, that was a normal thing to do.
Yeah.
You just started school here. Why are you already doing this?
It's not good. Not good at all. But after he's like, he hits her, he's like, don't ever call me that. And then he immediately apologizes. So it's like that kind of like, so his initial reaction is like pure violence and rage. And then like, it's like the switch where he's like, it's never a good thing, but it's scary.
Yeah. I mean, I could also believe that, which isn't excuse anything he does, but like, I mean, he has these like rages. He probably blacks out and then realizes what he just did.
Mm-hmm.
This motherfucker needs to be pushed down a flight of stairs. I'm sorry.
Like, come on now.
Please push him down the stairs.
Jesus like, Christ.
Oh, my God. Oh, Rick is the worst. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we get, and there's no, like, there's never a moment where, like, you can like Rick. Because I feel like even when
but
we
you
first
know
meet
what?
Him.
But later in this show, we're going to have to touch on this. They try to make us like Rick at one point. And I'm like, what the fuck, man? Like, no. I'm not. I refuse.
No. You, like, it's... Ugh, no. Because, again, we don't know Rick enough. Like, if you're going to somehow story arc and make an abuser into a redeemable person, you got to give us a few years to maybe glimpse that he could maybe be a reformed person. Maybe. Yeah.
Because people can change, but like, you need to do a lot of work. You can't just have him come back and be like, oh, people are being mean to him. That's not nice.
It's
like,
yeah, rightfully so.
Yeah, he needs to be beat up.
Jesus. We are angry and hate him for a reason.
I think it's season 4, actually, is where I'm like, I don't like y'all trying to redeem this man. Come on.
It's the worst.
Mm-mm. Beat his ass.
I know. So. We get at the dot and we see that JT arrives at the dot as a customer, and, you know, we kind of see where this is going. He's going to, you know, get a really complicated order and make Spinner's job really difficult. Kind of get back at him for the farting machine. So we get to Paige's house and, you know, they're having a little girls afternoon, evening on the patio, on the veranda, if you will, doing each other's nails and eating snacks, and they're just having a fun time chit-chatting. And Terry offers to do Hazel's nails. And this is when Hazel's going to get all the scoop. Because it's like when you're doing someone's hair or doing someone's nails, that's when you get the scoop. You get the details.
Mm-hmm. But also, that's what they think girls do all the time. I've never done a friend's nails before.
Yeah, I don't really trust. I've always done my own nails.
Yeah, I've never been like, oh, we do your nails? Like, oh, we're just girls hanging out doing nails. I'm like, I've never done that.
Remember, it's always weird, like, when, like, friends do each other's toenails, and I'm like, ugh.
What?
Like, in movies.
Oh.
Not in real life. I've never seen this in real life, because I'm like, that's weird.
Oh my God, I've never done your toes.
No, that mean, like, where it's always, like, the sleepover things, where it's like, let's put our bras in the freezer and do each other's nails, and it's like, why am I doing your toenails? This is...
Yeah, all of these are, all of those scenes are written by men, because I'm like, literally, a girl's sleepover party is literally just, like, you're just eating junk food and watching movies. You're not, like, ew, let's braid our each other's hair. Like, why? Do not touch my hair. Exactly. I am the one black girl at this party. Do not touch my hair. I will fucking end you.
It's always like, I remember for like a while, I would kind of, when it came to like my room or like my space, I remember like I thought like I mean, I've told the story in the podcast, I feel like, before. I like kept my room because I thought that like room raiders would come to my room.
I don't think you told the story. I did not know you thought room raiders would just come to your room one day.
Okay, I remember telling this to a friend. So I used to like kind of decorate and clean my room sometimes in preparation, thinking that room raiders could come knocking at my door like at any moment. So if for anyone that doesn't know what room raiders was, it was on MTV, and it was this. I feel like it was almost like a dating show. It was a dating show because it was one person would come and like three people would get kidnapped out of their room, quote unquote kidnapped. And you would watch everything from a van, and then three people's rooms would get raided by the person who's potentially dating these three people.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a bug. And they would kind of like go through everything, and like they would take a black light and see if there's any weird stains in your room,
and
see
like how weird stains,
yeah, and how clean or how dirty something was. And because I was like 11 and watching this, I was like, oh my gosh, like I never know when the room raiders people are gonna come. I need to be ready.
Oh my God.
Not knowing how like this TV show worked at all. But I remember I did that, but I also remember thinking like I needed to have my room ready for like sleepovers and like friend hangout time, because like obviously if like people are coming over, like you're gonna do like a dress up time where you're like putting on wigs and like dancing around to music and like dressing up.
Lauren, you watch way too much television. This is what happens when you're raised by TV, is that you're like, oh, I have to like make sure there's enough room for us to like, for me like throw my clothes around looking for an outfit.
Basically.
Oh my
yeah. God. So I remember thinking like, oh, I need to have like a boa. Like I need to have a boa draped over a full length mirror. I need to have like costume jewelry like at the ready. Just like in an organized but kind of like messy looking way, but like,
yeah, like a Lizzie McGuire type way, like very colorful, yeah. But like it is planned. Oh my yep. God.
So, you know, I would say like this is mostly like, maybe like middle school time. Once I got to high school, I was fully aware that like, this wasn't going to happen. But I definitely was like, I had, when I came to my room, I was like, I need to have it set up. So like, if like, I need to have all the things ready for any time that like, I need to have like a dress up thing, like a spirit week day, or like, I don't know, whatever.
No, I know exactly what you mean. You wanted to have a fun, you wanted That's What Girls Do to be playing. And then you're like, yeah, having just like a wacky, like, And you guys fall on the bed laughing because it's like, oh my God, I can't believe we just did that. That was so funny. This is the end of the montage.
I like wish that you were kidding, but you're not.
I know exactly what you're talking about. No, I know exactly what you're talking about. I grew up on the same media you did, girl.
But I just took it a little bit too much to heart.
You took it a little bit farther than I did, but like, it's okay. That's fine.
But the thing is, like, we've like very much had sleepovers a lot, but like none of this ever happened.
You should have hosted us in your room. You did all that trouble to like make your room like ready for sleepovers and we slept in the basement.
No one ever came over. Like, no one came and like hung out in my room.
No, we never hung out in your room.
Because like, there's nothing really. There's no TV in there. There's no like.
Exactly.
Yeah. So.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It's okay. Never too late.
I know. Ugh, man. But it is too late on Tori's storyline. Trying to pretend
who's,
that, like...
Girl, who's Tori?
Terry.
Oh, please respect my girl. This is like one of her few episodes she gets.
I know. Sorry, Terry. Yeah. Okay, so Terry's doing Hazel's nails. And Hazel's like, so, like, do you guys ever fight? Are there any problems? Like, everything just, like, seems so great. You guys don't have anything wrong with you. But Hazel's like, I know what's really going on. Tell me the truth. So Terry's like, you know, you guys never fight. And, or Hazel is. And Terry's like, well, not really. Unless, you know, his feelings get hurt. You know, like, unless I hurt his feelings. You know, he's so sensitive. And it's like...
But she says it in, like a cute thing. Like, he's just so sensitive.
Yeah. Like, explaining something away. Mm-hmm. And Hazel's like, yeah, this is not reading right. So, this is when Hazel notices Terry's kind of, like, busted lip from earlier. And Terry's like, oh, it's just a cold sore. You know, they're so gross. Like, you know, life is so hard. And that's when... Hazel's like, well, what about your wrist? Like, your wrist and now it's your lip? Like, what's going on, Terry? And Terry's, like, trying to just, like, you know, push everything away and, like, explain things away or just, like, change the topic. And this is when Hazel's like, you know, if he was hurting you, you would tell me, right? And, oof, This was it for Terry. She mm-hmm. went on the defensive and offensive. She's like, well, you know, you're just jealous. You're just jealous of what I have with Rick. And that's never a good sign.
Yeah.
When that comes out, it's never a good sign.
Yeah. Ain't nobody jealous about you and your boyfriend.
Like, no one's jealous of Rick.
Especially Rick. Yeah. What am I doing with all these roses? I want all that shit.
me in my head, I'd be like, oh my gosh, I have a vase in my room. I've been waiting for like some roses to put in. Or in my
locker, because you're giving me a whole bouquet of flowers at the start of school. What am I going to do with it? I'm going to walk around with this?
Exactly.
You know how these are going to look by the end of it, by seventh period?
I'm going to poke myself with all these fucking thorns in it. So right. It's not so easy.
It's not like, going to be fun. Like, this isn't cute. Like, come on.
Yeah. But Terry kind of like, you know, blows up at the two of them, Paige and Hazel. Paige comes in kind of like, what's going on? Like, why, what's the matter? But Terry just kind of storms off and, you know, is upset. And I think also probably embarrassed that the secret's
obviously. Yeah.
So we get back to Dot and JT is refusing the order that Spinner brought and is trying to, you know, make all these problems, make things even harder for Spinner. And this is when Spinner is just like, you know, I've had enough of you. And JT goes back to doing the mocking thing over again. And Spinner like pulls him out of the seat and like is about to fight him and hit him. Mm-hmm. But that's when the old black manager comes around and throws the towel over his shoulder. He's like, puts his hands on his hips. He's like, what's Spinner's real name?
Gavin,
see me in my office. And I was like, damn. Like, oh,
fuck. Yeah, that's fucked up. JT really about to get this boy fired. Y'all doing too much. This problem with prank wars. They always escalate. Remember that episode in Boy Meets World? When they do the prank wars? and they take a picture, they take Rachel's picture and put it in the common room as a naked picture.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That damn common room. I remember thinking, like, oh, I'm gonna have one of these in high school. Never did.
No, it was in college, remember? It's when they were all, like, at Pembroke or whatever. And oh, they had, like, right. Like, oh, it's a war, you know, prank war. And then it gets to the point where it's like, damn, y'all really just, like, show her naked-ass pictures to everybody. It's not funny.
Like, y'all are shit.
That ain't shit. Y'all are terrible. I should rewatch that.
Also, shame on the writers. They really painted Rachel as, like, the slut.
Yeah, because she's the tall,
like,
redhead.
You redhead slut.
Yeah. For shame.
So we get to the back hall, the back alleyway, where it goes there, and Rick is, of course, waiting shadily, and he's been waiting for Terry, and, you know, he love bombs her right away, and she's just like, Rick, I want to be alone, like, I got in a fight with Hazel, like, I just need to be by myself. And then he instantly makes it about himself. He's like, so you want to leave me? You don't want to be around me anymore?
Well, before that, because remember, she's like, oh, I have fun. He's like, I knew this would happen. He's like, okay, let's make a new rule. You don't want to see Hazel. Like, the way he says it is so, like, what? Like, it's escalated so fast from, like, I mean, obviously, he's hitting her, so he's an abuser. But it's like, she just mentions Hazel. I'm like, were you just waiting for me to bring up Hazel for you to be like, now you're on the topic. On the pissed off of Hazel. Actually, maybe you shouldn't see her or Paige or any of your friends ever again. Just me. Like, what?
Yeah. He's like, so, new rule. You're only going to see him at school, and then you're going to spend the rest of the time with me. Okay?
He's like, literally it.
Oh, my God.
And Terry's like, what? Like, yeah, me and Hazel just fought and everything, but bitch, I'm going to see this bitch. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Like, leave me alone. And then he flips it and he's like, you don't want to be with me anymore, you're gonna leave me, like, he, like, it's like the roller coaster of where this conversation is going is truly remarkable.
Yeah, honestly, I know that, like, the solution to this isn't to fight him back, because, like, it's not gonna end well, but I really wish that she would just, like, fucking swing on him once. I just wish, like, oh my God, like, he's insufferable, like, ugh. I think it's just, it's, you know what I like, though? I like that they chose, for an abuser, they didn't choose the typical choice. But I think a lot of TV and movies for teenagers always, like, the jock or, like, a super, like, masculine kind of dude bro. Like, I feel like at this point, whenever we watch TV and, like, there's an abusive storyline, there's always, like in Degrassi High, it's, like, a wrestler, or he's, like, a football player. Uh-huh. Or, like, that Lifetime movie with fucking DJ Tanner and the kid from Wonder Years, no one would tell he's, like, a wrestler. It's always, like, an athlete. Yeah. I appreciate that he's a little dweeb, honestly. Like, he's a little fucking nobody dweeb, and he's an abuser. I'm like, I think it's important that we show that, like, no, it's not always the person you expect, like, the fucking frat guy or, like, the, you know, hyper-masculine person. It could be, like, the kid with the glasses who likes theater.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, but I just wish one she would just fucking swing on him. Just one time.
I know.
Somebody needs to swing on him.
Please.
Anyone. Jimmy?
Jimmy. Please, Jimmy. Just go at him. Just go just at him.
Beat his ass once.
But, you know, Terry's just kind of like, just, again, trying to defuse the situation and just, like, go home and, like, just she's had a long day. Mm-hmm. For numerous reasons, she's had a long day.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, I love you, Rick, it's just that you're suffocating me and I, like, need my space right now. And this is when he pushes her, like, shoves her in the chest and throws her back into this, like, shed or wall. Mm-hmm. And, like, she's, like, very jolted and very kind of, like,
yeah, but you know what's interesting about that scene, I think it's very obvious that in the violence that he does to her, they're clearly trying to show an escalation. Right. But I feel like the backhand was the more shocking thing. Because, like, okay, the wrist grab, whoa. I feel like the push should have been the second one. The backhand was the one that I was like, oh, my God. Like, that's,
yeah.
I mean, not to say like violent. The other ones are not are okay. They're all bad, but they're clearly trying to show an escalation of violence. And it's like,
right.
I would say the time he backhanded her and like cut her, split her lip. Like, yeah. But that's just me. But he pushes her against the wall. And that is definitely a moment where I think she kind of was like, oh no.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. This ain't it.
He instantly tries to apologize again. And he was like trying to say, like, explain away, like, oh, that was like, you know, that was something else. Like, don't worry about that. And she's like, that was the last time you ever touched me. And then she walks away. I was expecting kind of like an explosion in the background or something.
I wish a bomb just like landed on him. Just...
Oh, please.
Yeah.
So we get this hallway scene. JT apologizes for what he did to Spinner because Spinner got demoted. And they, you know, make another truce. But this is when Miss Kwan comes up and gives a love letter that Spinner supposedly wrote to her, back to Spinner, about them, like, kissing.
Yeah, it's a whole, like, roses are red, violets are blue, Miss Kwan, you're fucking hot, I want to screw you. It wasn't that, but it was inappropriate.
One step away. Yeah. And I'm like, again, are we just not going to be dealing with this in an actual manner that is appropriate? Apparently not.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, so we get over to Jimmy. Jimmy is offering support to Terry, giving her a hug, and you know, Hazel's also consoling her. Terry's kind of like, she's not crying or anything, but she's just kind of like, I think she feels embarrassed. She says like she feels stupid that she like this happened to her, and you know, Hazel's like, you know, it was your first boyfriend, you wanted to make it work, which is so so true. Like,
it's so true. Yeah, it could happen to anybody.
Exactly. And you know, both of them were very supportive, which was good. And you know, Hazel's just kind of being like, you know, like, you gotta cut him out, like, whatever residual anything, like, we need to go cold turkey on him. Mm-hmm. Like, you know that, right? And then Terry's like, but I still care for him. Ugh. And this is when she looks over at her locker and there's another fucking rose taped to it. And then we cut over to see fucking Creeper McGeeper through the pane glass. It's just like, oh God.
Pulling an Emma, just like lurking.
Lurking. He is a lurker in like the worst sense. But Terry's going off, and she takes that rose, she throws it to the ground, and she smashes it with her little sneaker. And then glares at him, and then we cut to the end of the scene.
And Rick's like,
no.
I'm like, yeah, she's like, that's what I'm going to do to you, bitch. Watch me. Let me catch you in that alley again. I'm going to kick your ass.
Exactly.
Ugh, yeah, but that's the episode. Mm.
What did you think? So I know we talked a little bit about it, like, about how this was done. Like, I know we usually talk about with serious kind of episodes like this, about how well or how badly Degrassi touched on this topic. What'd you think?
I think it was fine. It wasn't, like, amazing. It also wasn't terrible. I think the only criticism I would have is that they, again, just the A-B plot stuff. It's like, if you're going to have a B plot, at least have it parallel what you're talking about, or have it, you know, I want to see something else that's not a prank war. It just seems very inappropriate. But I think it was okay. Like, it was, I would give it like a B minus, C plus. Like, this is okay. Like, this is not.
I think so too. And I think it also helps that this is not a one-off storyline. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to be continued and progressed in the kind of true sense of when it comes to abusive relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for a lot of people, it's just not that easy to, like, end things cold turkey. You know? That's not how abusers work. That's not how emotions work, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think I do appreciate that, like you said, at the end, that she does note that she still cares about him, because it is, it's realistic. It's like your mm-hmm. your feelings for someone, even as they're horrible, don't necessarily just turn off.
Right.
One day. That's not how that works. But yeah, what was your song choice for this week?
I chose one of my favorites from this era. It is a song called Face Down by the Red Jumpsuit Apparatus.
Okay.
It is a song, it's very much a punk, not punk, a pop punk rock song of the era. That kind of sound that we talked about, you know, the Ocean Avenue sound of the early 2000s.
Where but
exactly. Mm-hmm. But this one is about like in one of the main lyrics is like, do you feel like a man when you push her around? When do you feel better now when you fall to the ground or whatever? So it's about like, you know, abuse and the, you know, like what the fuck, like, do you like what abuse can look like and the kind of like mental, I don't know. It's a good song. It's a good, you know, song of the area. It's a bop. I remember listening to it being like, oh, this is what it's about. That's kind of sad, but it's still good. It's a really good song and it's about something. So I thought it's fitting for this episode.
Awesome. So the song I chose, I also did a pop punk song. Ooh. I chose, shout out to, I hope I haven't chosen this song already. I'm pretty sure I have it. Fifi Dobson's Bye Bye Boyfriend, which was on her like one album that she did. I mean, she's had other albums, but there's like that one album, the first one she did, that was like, oh my god. It definitely is kind of about, it definitely is like about like a relationship that is abusive, but like mm-hmm. also very complicated, because it's like it goes back and forth from like this person, the subject of the song, the woman being very upset, you know, that she has to, that she deals with this person, but then also kind of like the tenderness that she still feels for them.
Mm.
So, oh yeah, I haven't chosen that yet. Perfect.
You chose another Fifi Dobson song, I remember.
Yeah, I chose Unforgiven. That was another one. Mm-hmm. So, Bye Bye Boyfriend will be added good to choices. The playlist. As you know, that we have the unofficial Degrassi Next Generation playlist on both Apple Music and Spotify that you can find in our description. We'll be back next week. Oh, how fitting. I mean, this is the Christmas episode, but you'll be getting this around Thanksgiving, so it's close enough.
Nice.
Holiday. It's a two-parter. This is, yeah, this episode's amazing.
Yep.
Holiday. With Christmas rapidly approaching, Craig finds himself slowly losing interest in Ashley while continuing to cheat on her with Manny, who soon has become a comfort for him. Craig doesn't know whom he wants to be with more and continues to see them both behind each other's back, while also accepting the risk of losing both of them. Meanwhile, Joey and Sydney find themselves getting increasingly serious, but Sydney's jealousy comes out when Joey begins spending a lot of time with Caitlin, who begins to develop feelings for him. We got some two love triangles.
Two love triangles. Oh, of two different generations. I mean, I love a holiday episode, especially when like the kids are out of school, and like when the kids are out of school, the kids will play, you know, they get into mm-hmm. trouble. They do bad mm-hmm. things. And I love teens doing bad things.
Oh, we love it. I mean, that's why we do this show.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we are chugging along before we know. Oh my God. I'm looking at how many episodes we have left in season three. It's not that many. Also, my favorites are popping up.
I know.
So I cannot wait. But y'all keep listening. We are so thankful for you, and we can't wait to continue hearing back from you, hearing about how you feel about the episode. I'm curious to know what y'all's opinions are on this episode in particular.
Yes.
Yeah.
And have you tried to rewatch these episodes and then realize you can't get through the Rick part? So you just decide to listen to us talk about it instead, which we understand.
Fair enough. We can do the heavy lifting for you. We understand. Right. But yes, keep on listening. And as always, we will catch you later, Broomheads.
Bye, Broomheads.